Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your unfailing love for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to guide us and see us through times of uncertainty, for lifting us up and setting us on high. Thank you for scripture that comforts and reminds us of your promises, plan, and provision. Thank you for taking away our fears and worries. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Our first lesson today is right at the front of the Bible. It's Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3. It's found on page 1. This is the history of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The second scripture is Romans 5, 1 through 8, on page 1297. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice and hope in the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us to us. For when we are still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This has been the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, your pastor, Dr. James Hightower, has a gift of making people feel special. And he certainly made me feel special by asking me to preach today. He knew that would make me feel good. And I also think he knows what most pastors know, and that is there are times when a preacher does not feel so special or even welcome. I remember going into a church a few years ago to be a guest speaker and preacher, and I decided on the way to the pulpit, I just passed through the kitchen. And there I saw a little boy, probably 8 or 9 years old, drinking a big cup of coffee. Well, I was taken aback, and I stopped just a moment. And I finally tried to think of what to say, and the only thing I could think to say was what I'd heard my father or other people of his age say when I was a kid. And so I said to him those words because I didn't know what else to say. I said, "Son, you know if you keep drinking that coffee, you won't grow up to be a big boy." He came right back at me and said, "That's not what my daddy says." I said, "Well, what does your daddy say?" He says, "Drink that cup of coffee because it'll keep you awake during the sermon." But that's not the way I feel today. I think you are here because you want to be here, and I appreciate that very, very much. Today I want to speak to you on a subject that may catch you by surprise, but the title of my sermon is storms. It's been in the headlines constantly for the last few weeks. Much has been said about the hurricanes called Harvey and Irma and now Jose. It's a time of difficulty and fear and sadness and anxiety for many, many people, and certainly our prayers go out to them, even at this very moment. But I would like for us to turn our attention just for a few moments away from those storms that are brewing over Florida at this very moment, to another type of storms. Storms of which we often ignore. We don't put a title to it. We don't give it a name. But they're very, very real. I'm referring to those internal storms that we often carry in our hearts, that we don't talk about. And I'm reminded of this great passage from Genesis where there was absolutely nothing on earth. It was all full of darkness. It was void. Nothing. You might say this was the most serious storm ever when God decided to move in by His Spirit and created life on earth. He said, "Let there be light in the middle of all that darkness." And there was light. There are those this very moment who are struggling in great darkness. You know people that you would characterize as living in great darkness, in great turmoil. And perhaps some of you would even describe yourself as such. So let's think together just a few moments about such storms. I'm thinking now of some people that I've met down through the years. I'm thinking now of an owner of a small mom and pop business. He has been serving his friends in that little community for 12 years. He inherited the business from his father, who had it 30 years. Not a big business, just a small business meeting the needs of his friends. But as I looked in upon him, I saw him standing in the front door because there were no customers in his store. He was staring across the street where they were now completing and having the opening day of the new Walmart. I looked into his face and I saw stress. I saw a great storm brewing inside of bitterness and anger over things over which he could not control. I'm thinking now of being in Dallas on a given day, and I saw a couple standing at the gate. He was in a green uniform, military uniform, obviously about to be shipped out. She was standing there, looking into his eyes, as pregnant as a woman can be, knowing that her husband was on his way to Afghanistan and may not return. And then as they called out the flight for San Francisco, I saw the tears in their eyes and the storm brewing over the unknown. What would happen? And then I have seen, as you have seen, the Father standing in the doorway as a teenage daughter stomps out of the house, going to the car to run away, yelling at the Father, "I hate you." You see there the pain and the disappointment and the results of a long storm that's been going on inside the family. A storm over which it seems they have no control. But the results are seen in the eyes. I see in my mind a couple who've just finished a shouting match, and there were no winners. They walk away from each other, but on their faces, you see the results of a storm. Great and deep pain has been inflicted. And then, last of all, I have lived long enough to recognize the storm in the face of those who are struggling with God, who are actually angry at God because life is not going the way they thought it would go. And they're stomping their feet as children, demanding that they be able to live life on their own terms. A storm. Maybe you know something about that. The Scripture certainly speaks to that, as we see time and time again of God bringing peace from the very center of the storm, of God turning darkness into light. When we get that word from the doctor about our health and it's not the word that we want, it's not the word that we expected, but it came in on us like a great storm. And we say, "Oh God, what's going to happen?" It is in those moments of great storm in our souls that we seek and go down into our roots, and we seek the foundation of our faith, and it began to look to God for help. Here's the beautiful passage in Romans 8 that we heard today. God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Reconciliation with God, or we call it salvation. Yes, it's a matter of grace. It's a free gift. We do not need to earn it. In fact, we can never earn it. And Paul drives home this point, while we were still weak, Christ says, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. We are reconciled to God by His own action while we were still enemies. Not after we've been defeated or have given up or pleaded for a truce, but while we were still battling with God, still arguing with God, Christ died for us. And the truth is, some of us have never ceased battling with God. But His grace continues just the same. He continues to reach out to us in the middle of our storms, bringing hope and peace and reconciliation. My friends, we need to receive that grace today. I'm reminded of a great story by Fred Craddock, one of the professors of theology over at Emory University. He tells a story about a family that's out for a drive one Sunday afternoon. It's a pleasant afternoon, and they are relaxing, being together on this family drive. Suddenly, the two children in the back seat begin yelling, "Daddy, Daddy, stop! Stop the car! There's a kitten on the side of the road." Father says, "So, there's a kitten on the side of the road. We're having a drive." Father says, "I'm not stopping." But they say, "Daddy, you've got to stop. You've got to pick it up." The father says, "No, I don't have to stop and pick it up." "But Daddy, if you don't stop, it will die." "Well, then it will just have to die," said the father. "We don't have room for another animal. We already have a zoo at the house. No more animals." And then he hears the children, "But Daddy, you're not just going to let it die." And the daddy says, "Be quiet, children. We're trying to have a pleasant day and a pleasant drive." And then he hears the children quietly saying to each other, "We never thought our daddy would be so mean and cruel as to let a little kitten die." Finally, the mother speaks up and she says, "Dear, we've got to stop." And she said it in those terms and in that tone of voice that he knew he had to stop. He turns the car around and returns to the spot and pulls off to the side of the road. He goes out to pick up the little kitten, which is, turns out, just skin and bones, sores all around the eyes, full of fleas. And as he reaches down to pick up the kitten, in its last bit of energy, the kitten bristles, baring its teeth and claws, and proceeds to scratch and to grab the man's hand and sink his teeth into the hand. The father stifles a shout, but is able to pry the kitten free by grabbing it by the loose skin on the neck. He takes it over to the car, holding it up, and says, "Don't touch it. It's probably got leprosy." Back home they go. And when they get to the house, the children give the kitten several baths. And they give it at least a gallon of milk to drink. And then they intercede, "Can we let it stay in the house just for tonight? Tomorrow we'll fix a place for it in the garage." Now the father, who is still stinging from the wounds in his hand, says sarcastically, "Sure, take our bedroom. In fact, let it sleep in my bed. The house has turned into a zoo anyway." The children fix a comfortable bed for a box in the corner of their room. Several weeks pass, and the entire time the father avoids that cat. Then one day, as the father comes in and sits down in his easy chair, he feels something brush up against his leg. He looks down and is surprised to see this kitten, now turning into a cat, carefully looking around to see if nobody was watching. The father extends his hand down to the cat. This time it was different. Instead of scratching, the cat arched its back and begins to purr. "Is this the same cat?" he says to himself. "It couldn't be the same cat. Something had happened. Something had happened to this kitten. And we know what it was." Not long ago, I felt that God reached down with his hand to bless me and my family. When he did, I noticed his hand, and it was covered with scratches. Such is the hand of love extended to those who are bitter, who are angry, who are living in a storm. God still loves you. Amen.